Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, and welcome to church. And today we are in our little mini-series, Countdown to Easter, and it's Palm Sunday, and sun's shining out. Isn't it a little deceiving out? You woke up this morning, and I'm like, the sun's so shiny, and then you go outside, and you're like, whoo, brisk, baby, brisk. But it's going to be a great day in God's house. I wanted to take a minute here and celebrate just some great people around our church. Throughout this last couple weeks, there's been teams of people getting together, working on our brand new My City headquarters building, serving. And I just went upstairs and I found one of them sleeping because they've put in about 20 hours this week and they're tired. And but God's bringing that together. Paint's beginning this week. Carpet's going in next week. And we're getting real close to being able to have all kinds of stuff and meetings going on there. And that's what Team My City is all about. It's about people taking next steps, getting all in and becoming a part of the family. And I'd love to encourage you. Maybe you've been around here for a little while and you're going, how do I get more involved? How do I build my faith? How do I find my place to make a difference? Well, we have a thing called Next Classes. They happen each and every week during our 10:30 service. So if you just want to hang around, we got snacks prepared. We have childcare. I say this all the time. You give us 4 weeks, we'll get you connected to the life of your church. We'll get you establishing some spiritual foundations, how to read your Bible, how to pray, how to grow in your faith. We'll help you discover your gifts and your talents, and we'll help you find a place to make a difference. We'll even begin to talk to you a little bit about the leadership potential that we believe you have on your life. 4 weeks might get your life on a brand new track. Maybe jump into Next, bring a friend, grab somebody along. At 45-minute class, I promise you, it gets you on a brand new trajectory. Can we give a big round of applause to all of our Next team that do such a great job? So today on Palm Sunday, I wanted to preach a message that is built off of Jesus's last words on the cross. And today I want you to see every one of them, and I want you to see the spiritual impacting lens that Jesus was looking at as he began to say these words on the cross. And so we're going to read a series of scriptures here, and then we're going to dive in. Luke chapter 23 and verses 34, these are the seven last words of Jesus. And it says this, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How about this next one? And then Jesus said this in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. These are pretty upbeat words for a man on a cross. John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. Jesus saw his own mother and the disciple standing near her whom he loved deeply. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, he took his mother into his family. One more passage of scripture, Mark chapter 15, verse 34. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? One more, Jesus said this. He said this, I thirst. I thirst. One more, Jesus said this. John chapter 19, verse 30. It is finished. It is finished. And then the final words of Jesus on the cross, Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, it says this, and speaking in a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Seven words from Jesus on the cross that I think can give us a brand new lens to look at our world. And that's what I want to talk to you today from this topic or this thought, a new lens from final words. A new lens from final words. Can we pray today? Jesus, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you that your word, Lord God, transforms us from the inside out. God, may we take on your lens from the cross as we look at the world, as we look at our family, as we look at our calling, our resources, our time. God, may we see through the eyes that you saw the world in, Lord. And God, we thank you today that you are with us and you never leave us and you never forsake us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus this morning, can we put our hands together for him? Come on. So I've got a question for you. Have you ever taken something for granted that was actually really important in your life? Like, I had one of these incidences the other day. I had lost my driver's license, my physical driver's license. So I had to go to hell or the DMV, and pretty close. Take a number, wait for eternity. I mean, it's pretty close, you know? And so I go to the DMV. I'm kind of already regretting it. I get my number. I go up. I'm just thinking like, hey, I had a driver's license. They'll just print me off a new one. No. They got to go through this like little rigmarole. And the big thing that they had to do was they had to test my vision. Okay, they had to test my vision. And so you got to put your head in that thing and, you know, push it forward, and it smells funny. You're like, oh God, how many people have done this? You know, and you're having to read the numbers on it. And I have this thing with my eyes. It's something that quite honestly, I'm believing for healing for. In my left eye, I have this thing called keratoconus. It's the cornea of my eye is turning cone shape. So it has a hard time making out defined lines. And there's very little that they can do for it medically until it just goes really, really bad. And then I have to have a cornea transplant, which is crazy, right? And so it's progressively getting worse and worse in my left eye. And I went to the DMV. I wasn't expecting to have an eye test. So I went with my glasses on, which are a little old, not my contacts in. And I get there and the lady's going, can you read the middle four lines? Is it working? I literally asked her. I couldn't see anything out of my left eye on the middle lines. And she's like, sir, are you? So she walks around the counter to see if I'm like screwing it up, right? She's like, nope, it's definitely there. And she goes, are you blind? And I'm like, I might be. I don't know, you know, because I've just gotten so used to living with it. I feel like I see awesome, but apparently I don't. And so she goes, well, here's the deal. We're not going to be able to, like, the best I could do for you today is daylight only driving. I'm like, my goodness, like, you know what I mean? And it was really like messing with me pretty bad. And so I'm like, hold on, I'm going home. I'm going to get my contacts. I'm coming back to the demon. I came back and I passed, you know, the eye exam. My contacts are a little bit more form fitted for my eye and I could see fine. But I remembered that day how much I've taken for granted a simple thing like my eyesight. This simple thing that helps me see the world, that helps me navigate the world, it helps me learn how to take action. That's why they were afraid to give me my driver's license. Because if you can't see, you perceive the world wrong. But not only that, you take the wrong actions. You may turn out in front of somebody that you didn't see, or you may blow through a stop sign that you couldn't read. Because why? Your eyes, your vision, what you see determines the actions of your life. Here's what I would say. The lens that we look through determines how we see and the actions that we take. So the way we see the world, your internal lens, the values, the perspective, what you think is important will determine not only what you see. Did you ever notice that you can have two people looking at the same thing and see two different, totally different things? You can have two people talking about the same scripture and they see it from two totally different angles. You can have two people talking about the same thing on the news. Ugh. And they're just yelling at each other. Why? Because the lens that we carry determines how we see the world. And the way we see the world determines the actions that we take. You know, I think Jesus understood this, and he's wanting to make some statements to us on the cross that are going to help us put on a new lens on how we look at the world. See, Jesus wants us to walk around literally, figuratively, with a lens that is shaped from the cross to the world. Just look at this for a moment. I think Jesus wants us to have an overlay over our vision, over our passion, over our time, over the way we communicate and the way we engage with people that isn't from us to the cross, but we have been able to flip that and understand the heartbeat of God, and we're able to look at our world through the cross to the people around us. See, the lens of the cross is seen in the final words of Jesus. You got to think about this for a moment. If you're dying on the cross, your arms are outstretched. There's really no time left for platitudes. There's really no time left for, like, you know, oh, here's the next like seven statements. It's going to be the great marketing strategy for Jesus Christ Ministries. At that point, you are all the way into your mission. You are locked in, and the things that are coming out of you is ultimately what is in you. So if we want to know who Jesus is, what is actually in him, all we have to do is look at his words in the middle of one of the most agonizing situations. And I think every one of these words will give us a new lens that we look at our family, our friends, our world through. And the first statement that Jesus makes is the lens of forgiveness. The lens of forgiveness. You got to get this. He is on the cross. He has been persecuted by those he is trying to save. Can I just pause right there for a moment? If you want to actually follow Jesus, if you want to actually make a difference, there are people that you are going to try to help that are going to hate you. There are people that you are going to try to serve that will take what you do and misconstrue it. They're going to take it and try to turn it around and try to use it as a weapon against you. Hey, if they did it to your Savior, they're going to do it to you. So part of us being followers of Jesus is embracing this lens of forgiveness. Just look what he says, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. It says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. What a spirit of grace. What a spirit of grace that was on our Savior. I wonder if Jesus felt like saying that. Like, oh, thank you for these nails and this is agony. I can't breathe. Oh, man, I just feel like just spreading some forgiveness around. Everybody, come around. You know, we're just all gonna, let's sing a song, guys. Let's sing, you know. No, this was coming from a place of agony. Here's what I would say. It's coming from a place of choice. See, the lens of the cross tells us forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. That in fact, the times where we have to forgive, we have to love, where we let Jesus shine through us the most are the times when we are most justified to respond and to react and to get angry and to feel like we need to defend ourselves. He could have got up off that cross. He could have got up and just, everybody's in flames. Good luck. You know what I mean? He could have. He could have defended himself, but the Bible says when they accused him, he answered them not a word because he understood that, listen, what he was going to model for the world was you don't deserve it, but I came to give it. I'm a God of forgiveness. I'm a God who chooses to love, who chooses to forgive. See, the cross calls us to receive forgiveness and to release forgiveness. See, I think the reason this was his first and foremost word on the cross was to make a statement to you. You know what your number one need is in life? To be forgiven. You know what your number one thing probably that will keep you free and keep you unstuck and keep you making a difference? Be a person of forgiveness. Because on the backside of unforgiveness is bitterness, resentment. All the things that give the room to the enemy to wreak havoc on our soul. But when you know my Savior died on the cross, I am forgiven, I am redeemed. You do something bad to me, well, I did something bad to him. I've been forgiven, freely I'm gonna forgive. See, if we're gonna walk like Jesus, we gotta look through the lens of forgiveness. See, his next words, it's the lens of salvation. The lens of salvation. Just look what he says. It says Luke 23, verse 43, and he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, today, you will be in paradise with me. You got to get this for those of you that might not be familiar with the story. Is Jesus is on the cross and there are two people on crosses next to him. And one is bitter. See, he hasn't got the first words. He doesn't understand. He needs forgiveness. He doesn't understand that he wants to give out forgiveness. In fact, he's oozing the pain of what has put him on the cross. But then the other thief next to him is, truly you are the Son of God. He had this revelation that what Jesus was going through was not the same as what he was going through, that he was bringing breakthrough for what was crippling his soul. There was a sense of God salvation in the air. And Jesus looks over at him and he says, remember me today. And he says, truly, what was Jesus saying? He's saying, the purpose of this cross is for all those who are aware you need forgiveness. For all those who are willing to forgive others, I have come to save. I've come to create paradise in your future. I've come to what? Make sure that you live a life that isn't just on this earth, but is an eternal life that takes you to another place. See, the lens of the cross, it calls us to run our race with the end in mind. Let me put this to you in words today. The best way that I can help you is the promise that Jesus is saying is he's saying, hey, I'm not going to change what you're walking through right now. But here's the promise. At the end, you win. Yep. And I think in our church world, when we say the lens of salvation, we've kind of dumbed this thing down into this really soft, not much of a backbone Christianity, where Jesus has just come to make me a little bit happier than the way I was when I came in. So I was struggling. I was a little fearful, but I'm not so fearful anymore. Now, granted, I believe Jesus wants to break fear off your life, but I don't think that's all he wants to do. What I think he wants to do is put a lens over your life when you look through the cross that you realize I'm not running for the temporary. I'm running my race for the eternal. So I'm going to look out in front of me with great expectation, knowing that in this world we will encounter problems, but take heart, he's overcoming the world. We got to run our race with eternity in mind. This week, can we run our race with eternity in mind? Can we run the race understanding that what Jesus does on the cross is the difference? I know it's not popular anymore, but I'm just gonna say it. It's the difference between heaven and hell. These are real places. This isn't a fairy tale. He wasn't brutalized and beat just to give us $10,000 more in our annual income. This is a war that we are in, and we gotta run this race with the eternal outcome in mind. Jesus is saying there's forgiveness to change your eternity, and there's a calling here on earth to run this race to bring salvation to humanity. See, the next lens that we see Jesus begin to talk about in the cross is the lens of relationship. Like, this is what he says. Jesus said to his own mother, so Jesus on the cross, his mother is his feet, and the disciple whom he loved, which is John, is at her feet as well. And standing there, he said to his mother, "Mother, behold your son." Who's he talking about? John, who's right next to her. Then he said to the disciples, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple John took his mother into his own family. What is this communicating? That the lens of the cross is saying to us that God came to build a family. God came to build a family. God only, he determined he wanted to reconnect you with God, but that reconnection with God should tremendously affect our connection with others. See, if you look at the cross, it's like a physical representation that the first beam going up is God, is Jesus healing our vertical relationship with God. But there's a cross that is what? God healing our relationships with others. See, Jesus said it like this, Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. It says this, "Teacher," they're asking Jesus, you know, they're trying to say, "Hey, what do you think is most important? Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. That is the first and greatest commandment." And you can almost feel a pause when Jesus is saying this, because they're all going, "Yeah, well, we do that." Because you know what? I found it's really hard for somebody else to measure my love for God. And Jesus goes, hey, I want you to get this second addendum. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus in this moment on the cross is reinforcing this. He's saying, hey, I've come to build a family, not based on blood, but based on belief. See, we sometimes, you know, like we just get hung up just going, hey, well, God came to build a family for the least of these, for those that feel like they don't have somebody, for those who feel like they're the outcast, the left out, That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, mom, I know you may feel like all of this is going wrong, but actually what I'm building is a family that's stronger than just blood. I'm building a family that's based on beliefs. Can I tell you, that's what the call of the local church is, to be a family that is based on beliefs in a Savior who wants to redeem our world. You know, I've spent a lot of time around people, and I've kind of watched this happen, just pastoring over the years. I've watched this happen a lot. People, you know, they come to faith or whatever, then they get married, and they get married, then they have kids, and they spend the next 40 years of their life, kind of 30 years, hopefully not 40. If they are, get them out of the house, praise God. Don't stare at them if they're next to you, okay. But they raise their kids, and they come through, and then the kids move out, and then it's almost this feeling of emptiness, this feeling of something's missing. And I just believe that this lens of relationship is a call to every person in this room. If I can speak candidly, that your kids are out of the house, that you're 50 or over, or you're in that season of transition where the kids, could it be that God's calling you to have spiritual sons and daughters? Could it be that there is a family that is based on belief, that God's called you at this stage in your life to be a voice of fatherhood and motherhood in people's lives? Could it be that Jesus is saying, hey, right here, listen, we're gonna take care of one another. We're gonna take care of those that are older than us. We're gonna take care of those that are younger than us. We're gonna be family together. See, he begins to move on from family to this next lens, the lens of adoption. Mark chapter 15, verse 34, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of you may be like, how did you get adoption out of that? But friends, Jesus was forsaken as a son so we could be adopted as sons. See, you got to understand what is going on the cross. Jesus is taking on everything that we deserve so that what? We can take on everything that he deserves. See, John 3:16 makes the most sense when you fully understand the gospel. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his one and only son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish but would have eternal life. What's the promise? That God gave his one and only son and standed at rejection against him. Why? That when he was raised from the dead, for all those that would believe, we would become sons and daughters of God. That because Jesus was forsaken, me and you are now adopted into that family. That you have nothing to prove. You're not a son by worth. You are a son by birth. That you've been born again because of what Jesus has done. And he's paving the way to let you know, I may be in a moment where it feels like God has forsaken me, but I'm doing this so you'll never be forsaken. And that's why Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, never will I leave you. And never will I forsake you. See, the promise of this is Jesus going, hey, there may be times where you feel like you're alone, where you feel like God is not around. I want you to reflect on my words. My God, why have you forsaken me? And rejoice knowing, God, I know you've forsaken Jesus. But the promise on the other side of that is that you will never forsake me. See, he's with you more than you think. I love that little addendum, just kind of, God, why have you forsaken me? Because he felt the isolation, the loneliness, that me and you never have to carry that. So don't ever let the enemy get you in a place, God's far away. He's not. He's right here. He's right here. He's right there with you through the thick, through the thin. His promise is he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. How many are thankful for that today? Come on. The fifth lens is the lens of fulfillment. The lens of fulfillment. In John chapter 19, verse 28, it says this, and he said, I thirst. What was he saying? I'm in a moment right now where I have a need in my world. I thirst. See, Jesus thirsted so that we could be fulfilled. See, this so reminds me of this great passage of scripture in John chapter 4. Jesus has come in the middle of the day. It's about noontime. The sun is out. He's veered off on his own. Most people would look at the direction he took and went, Jesus went way out of his way to get to where he was. He's in Samaria, a place that usually Jewish people don't go at a time that most men are out during the day to meet a woman that most people don't talk to. And he sits at a well and he talks to a woman who's come there at noon because she's quite embarrassed. See, she's had five husbands and now she's living with a man and has kind of given up. So out of embarrassment, she doesn't like to come around the other women, so she comes to get water at noontime. See, she's thirsty and not in the ha-ha-ha sense, but she is looking for something. You gotta get this today. She's looking for something. That's why in this house, you'll never hear us condemn people or try to judge people based on their actions. Now, we will call you to a new standard because we believe God has called you to be something better than you are right now. But we're never gonna look at you and go, oh man, how did you do? Why did you do that? How did you do that? Because here's why. It's the thirst on the inside of us that causes us search in all the wrong places for all the wrong things. And here comes Jesus at noonday and he says, hey, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink and you would never thirst again. See, Jesus is reiterating this from the cross. Hey, I'm thirsty right now, but I'm becoming thirsty so you won't have to thirst in the future. That you can find a sense of contentment and fulfillment in the presence of God, that you can live this life with joy. You can live a John 10:10 life, that he came to give us life and life to the fullest. That Jesus wants us to live a life that is fulfilled in his presence. Number 6, that's the lens of victory. It's the lens of victory. John chapter 19, verse 30. It says this, and Jesus said, it is finished. You ever been in a season where you just felt like nothing was clicking? It's nothing clicking for you. You know, you pray, you feel like prayers work, and I find myself sometimes in this place where I feel like I'm praying up to God, hoping that something will come down from God. Like, God, if you could, God, if you would, I don't know. At this point, I feel so beat down. I don't know what's going on anymore. So we find ourselves in this place where we're kind of like beggars before God. And Jesus is reminding us from the cross, it's finished. This battle that you feel like you're facing right now, it's actually finished because of what I'm doing on the cross. So here's what I need everybody to understand. We don't work for victory. We work from victory. Jesus is going, hey, because of what the cross has done in your world, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So next time that you feel that way, you got to remember this moment and remember the declaration of Jesus. It's finished. You are not a beggar in the kingdom of God. You are a son and a daughter of God. So let's pray like one. Let's act like one. Let's live from a place of victory, not defeat. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this, so what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 37, no, in all these things. Here's the principle. God's for you. He showed that on the cross. So whatever comes your way, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's finished over your life. The forgiveness you need, it's available to you. The healing you need, it's available to you. The breakthrough you need, it's available to you. All you gotta do is run with faith and boldness to the throne room of grace. Live from a place of victory. Don't try to work for victory. And then finally, after all of that, just this beautiful moment, you can almost imagine him screaming out, "It is finished," and just ripples going through the spiritual realm. Ripples going through people's lives. Literal ripples going through the veil that separated us from the presence of God. And then Jesus models to us with this last lens of the cross. How do we enter into this brand new life? How do we enter into all that I've just finished for you? It's the lens of surrender. Here's what he says. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And speaking in a loud voice, I just want to make sure everybody gets your pathway forward from here. I've overcome death. I'm conquering sin. I've been forsaken by my Father, so you don't have to be forsaken. I'm pouring out forgiveness. And just so you know how to enter into this, I'm gonna say it with a loud voice. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. What was Jesus saying? The pathway forward with Jesus is surrender. So you can't kind of sneak into salvation. It's not like you kind of tripped and fell into it. Like, well, yeah, I mean, heaven, hell, I mean, I've seen like the movies, like Left Behind. I don't want that to happen to me. So yeah, like I'll believe in Jesus. No, friends, that wasn't the call of the cross. The call of the cross wasn't a get out of jail free card. It wasn't a fire insurance card. It wasn't any of those things. It was a, hey, you, come follow me. This is a surrendering life. Jesus went a step further. He says, if any man wishes to come after me, he must what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus saying, what I'm trying to model to you right now is the pathway to finding forgiveness and peace and victory in your life. It's saying, God, I give you my all. I'm putting my spirit in your hands. I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna walk with you. You are my savior. You are my king. See, Jesus didn't die for fans. He died for followers. And he's saying, hey, I'll set you free. I'll deliver you. Hey, but I'm looking for some people who are what? They're gonna follow me in surrendering to God. I think it's interesting, like, What does this look like, right? I think this week in our city, we can model this to our city, what it looks like to have a surrendered life. See, Jesus, those were his final words on the cross before he died, but his final words before he ascended into heaven was Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. What is he saying? You remember those words on the cross? They're true. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You can have an overflowing life. You can find victory in every season. Yeah. I want to remind you, all that authority in heaven and earth, it's mine. And now he's saying, now go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey everything that I've commanded you. And here's the promise. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. I'm wondering this week if we all ran the race going, you know what, Jesus? I'm gonna take your words on the cross to heart. I'm gonna live like I'm forgiven. I'm gonna live like you're for me and you're not against me. I'm gonna live from victory and not defeat. And you know what? I'm gonna go all in. I'm gonna surrender my life to you. So what? We can keep your kingdom moving forward. We can live out the Great Commission. What would happen if we added the cross equals love as our lens over our city? From every barista, from every coworker, from every friend, if we took the words of Jesus seriously, hey, you may not feel like you've got it all together. Jesus didn't come for people who felt like they had it all together. He came for those who knew they needed forgiveness, okay? So we can spread that message. We can spread that around our city. Can we lift up the banner of what is the message of the cross? Well, friends, every one of those words that he said from the cross had no resentment, had no bitterness, and no anger. And just ooze love. Just ooze love.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.